All right, guys. Oh, dear. I think that this thing is going, but I'm going to record on my phone as well, just for the sake of due diligence. All right. It's great to be with you guys. Is it safe to assume that we all basically know each other? I guess there's a – so, like, why don't we just be sure? Because Molly's moved here since the regionalizing, for example, and all that. Well, I don't know. Byron and Nicole got here after we regionalized too, I think. So why don't we just go around real quick? Name and how old your child or childs are.
Oh, we start with me.
Yeah.
I know all of you guys. Darius. Kalia's one.
Wow.
The one's not here yet.
And she's walking.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I haven't seen her walking.
She on Wednesday night, she was. Just,
yeah. Everybody's excited about that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I said
a whole nother world.
It's not. It's not
world.
All it's cracked up to be.
I'm Molly, and married to Tyler, Kate, and Griffin is our youngest. He's 6 months, and then Jack is gonna be 4 in a couple months,
wow.
And Lucy is 6.
Dude. Jess
Knight. Stella is 4. Luca is 0.
I have Gretchen Cruz and I have Casey, who's 1.5.
Okay.
And Kingston just turned 3. I'm Nicole. Ariel 4. Ariel's 5.
Marcelo. Yeah, and we have like 3 boys, like Hopley's. Yeah, and Lucas.
You say 26.
Cool. That's cool.
I'm Jenny, and this is Jeremy Fane, and then we have the little Adeline. She'll be 1.5 years at the end of the month.
Wow.
Woo.
And yeah, active walking, all that fun.
Dude, That's weird. Like, it's so silly to say, but, you know, me and Megan remember her at, like, 1 year old, basically.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Adeline's age.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Like, Adeline's age. I was young too. I don't know.
His mom used to babysit.
Yeah. Are you and Eric 4 years apart?
2.5.
Oh, 2.5. So like my mom would babysit them when Eric was 5 and he was like this tall. already.
Like as tall as Michelle.
Yeah, she couldn't watch him anymore. It's crazy. Yeah. But so just that and then yeah,
it's
real.
I have the visual of your
yeah.
mom.
Yeah.
Even
it's crazy. It's crazy. Oh, and actually, this is probably a good moment. This has nothing to do with the devotional, but this is a good moment for me to express appreciation to Darius. Darius was the one person to openly laugh on Sunday when I needed him to during my sermon.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. I was sharing the story about when I was a high school wrestler.
Oh,
in my second to last, my second to last match, I lost to a blind kid. And like people wanted to laugh, but they're like, "Can I laugh? Should I?" And Darius like, "Ah!"
Also got a KC.
Yo, it was crazy. And then guess what? Like after church, everybody's laughing and carrying on, but they felt like they couldn't necessarily laugh during the sermon and all that. So I appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you.
But then of course Nicole, you know, is how many years? 4 years apart from you.
Three.
So as
how old are you?
So as cousins, yeah, they're 3 years apart, 3.5 years apart. Then when Megan and I got here, Gretchen was entering freshman year, and Jessica was a junior, and so it's really special to be with you guys. Update with us, family wise, the boys. Carson's 13. He's here for the young teen thing, and Logan's 15. He actually called me right at 7. He just got back from practice. He's like, "Where are you guys?"
Oh, we never told him that we're gone.
He should have known. And but like
what
that,
not to do.
But that's where we are. And it was cool. He said, I wanted to go to the devotional. I'm like, oh, sorry, you know, so,
and,
he's fine.
In our defense, practices,
oh, it's
you
all
never know when they're going to end, and, like, the coaches will say one time, and then they're longer, so we have a carpool that picks up the kids and stuff, which is nice.
If you live under a social media rock, Logan made the baseball team, and we're just like, oh.
Eric's been very proud.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm, like, just pushing
proud,
things out there like crazy and all that, so, I want to really encourage this group in particular. This is the group that it's hardest to come to a thing like this. You got kids that you're bouncing under a blanket right now. They're sitting on your lap. This is the group that it's hardest to do this. I mean, by this time, kids would be starting to get ready for bed, a lot of you guys. It's a lot harder than everybody else. And some of you guys come from, like, really far away. I think that you guys are kind of, like, right on the edge, along with Darius, for the furthest drive here. And but I also want to encourage you guys, I think that you're a little closer to 31, and so, like,
well,
you know.
Well, 3 minutes from us.
Yeah, it's all proximity to the expressway. I don't know, because, like, you know, some of these guys.
Y'all appreciate you all the same.
Yes, basically all that to say, like, great job. You will never, like, you'll never look back on these, I promise you, unless it's, like, a speaker who doesn't prepare nothing. Like, you'll never, yeah, you'll never look back on these with like a, geez, that was a waste. And so I really want to encourage you guys, great job for investing in your kids. This is the most important thing that you do. Like me and Megan have a mindset of everything else in the world could be falling apart, could be exploding. But like if our households is right, then like that's what matters to us the most. And so we have a lesson that we're going to give, and then we're going to have time for Q&A. That's what all the groups are doing to do this. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. God, we thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for these people, God, all of whom, God, I just feel as a friend for me and Megan. And God, I'm grateful for the friendships with them. I thank you as well so much for their hearts to raise children in the faith. God, the greatest endeavor and also a particularly challenging endeavor in our lives. Thank you so much in advance for the victory, God, that you bring about by your sovereign will and spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight's topic is, not that one, it is connecting spiritually with my children. Connecting spiritually with my children. So by way of introduction, I want to lay out just a few thoughts for you. And Megan's going to be diving in here and there. The first of which is this, is you are the number one influencer of faith on your children. The number one influencer of faith in a child's life is the parents with a bullet. I think people think, oh, it's, you know, there's all kinds of other things that are heavier influences. Their friends are influencing them. They're this. You are their number one influence in faith and in every other area of their life. To that end, I really want to hold before us to latch onto and to never let go of the following, that you also have the primary responsibility for instilling faith into your child. Guys, I'm going to give you a little peek behind the 16 years of youth and family ministry curtain and tell you something unfortunate. There are people that when their kids got into the teen ministry, and Jessica, you jump in and say amen to this at whatever point that you want because of having been the youth and family minister for the church here before. There's people who abdicate the responsibility of instilling faith into their children, and they see themselves as secondary, and they will even go so far as to blame the church when things aren't going the way that they would hope that they would go with their child's faith development. No amen, yeah, girl. Okay.
And it can be sneaky because I think, yeah, they don't. Sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it, you know, and they're just, yeah, blame shifting in a lot of ways. But their example at home, and we'll get into that. But it can be a very deceiving thing for them, you know, and like, yeah. So I just want to add that because it's like not outright a lot. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it becomes very tricky with that.
Well, I'll even elaborate on it, guys. We've had people leave in recent years, on their way out the door. The church failed my kid. And so then they just like peace out, not necessarily to a church. What you really come to find out is they weren't really being like true disciples at home. And so that's why their kid, the number one reason why their kid didn't want God, because they saw the hypocrisy in it. And then on their way out the door, they're actually just proving, they're disproving themselves on their way out the door when they're pointing at the church on their way out. And so I just really want to challenge you guys, decide now that I am number one. Does the church play a role? Absolutely. Does youth ministry play a role? Absolutely. But first and foremost, it's the parents. Me, my brother, my sister, we all decided that we were going to be disciples for our life before we even touched a youth ministry. You guys know what I'm saying?
And I think that does a lot of good for our hearts and for our kids' hearts as they grow up. To have that mindset, because then you're, you know, the church isn't perfect.
Yeah.
People aren't perfect. They're going to fail or hurt us or whatever. But if we have that mindset, like, then it's going to kind of color all that in a lot of, in a different way of like, well, okay, I'm still, you know, have the this power and authority in my kid's life. And anyway, so I just think that's helped us. And when, because we've been hurt by the church, you know, like yeah. It's like not, yeah, like we've been hurt by the church, by people in the church, like we've hurt people in that, yeah. In the church as well. So we're a part of it as well.
You know, particularly since the industrialization of America, so many things for our children have been outsourced. It's outside the home, right? It's, you know, parents work and kids are learning how to read, write, arithmetic. Swim, drive, whatever. It's outsourced outside of the home very frequently. And so there can be a trap that we can unknowingly fall into of outsourcing faith to people outside of the home as well. So again, the church is still important, all that, but it's so important that we hold that we are number one. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We have four principles to share with you tonight. Four principles to share with you. And man, do I need to start talking faster? Here we go. This is kind of what I do. Luke chapter 5. Can somebody give me verse 16 when you get there? The first principle, and you can raise your hand when you get there. The first principle is the following. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Somebody read Luke 5:16, please.
I can.
Go for it.
But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Okay, let's all turn over to Mark 1. Mark 1. So we see this idea that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. God incarnate felt a need to connect with the Father. Mark 1, when somebody gets there, can you read verses 29 through 35, please? We're doing a lot of scripture reading, so be ready.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So they went to him, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the doors, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed.
I forgot Liz has like a voice actress voice.
which is... anyway, she can just read Oliver.
So, are you trying to listen in? You can come in. Bring your food. Bring your food. Don't worry. I think that's Latricia. I'm like, and I think she's out there because of the stupid sign over the door.
Stupid.
Whatever. The no food or drink sign. Whatever. There's other food and drink in here too.
Okay,
yeah. These are the people with the dirty like, you know, floors at home.
Like it's
and
fine.
So
it's
whatever.
Latricia, there's
so
over here.
Oh. So let's talk about this for a moment again on this topic of you can't give what you don't have. Jesus had just been spending the day ministering to people. It says that he was driving out demons. Do you guys remember in the scriptures what oftentimes like we would note about Jesus, especially when that woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years touched the edge of his cloak? He felt what go out from him? He felt power go out from him. I think that we are wrong if we think that Jesus was just like, zing, you're healed, hey. You know what I'm like? I don't think that it was without a like removal of strength and power that Jesus did all this stuff. So fair to say he's probably pretty tired by the end of that day. Then it's a long day. He gets home. He heals another person because he was hungry. That night, all the town gathered at the door. We don't know how many people it was, but again, he was healing everybody who came to the door. Fair to say he was probably up pretty late that night. And then verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off again to a solitary place where he prayed. Why, oh why, would Jesus skimp on the sleep in order to connect with the Father? I would dare say that he knew it was another day that he had to be connected to God. I think Jesus even himself knew that he couldn't give what he didn't have. He knew that he had to be connected to the Father. As we're turning to 1 Corinthians 11, I want to ask this question. 1 Corinthians 11. Do you feel drawn upon very much by your young children? Do you feel like there are thousands gathering at your door late at night? To, you know, I love the Instagram reel thing I saw like today where, you know, the mom's like, it's 8 p.m. and she's getting all ready with her ice cream and stuff on the couch. And it was one of those like, hey, what? Yeah. It was one of those audios where the kids were like, oh, you think you're going to bed type of deal. And that's what it's like. As you guys are maybe not at the age anymore where like middle of the night waking up, right? I mean, probably sleeping good. You probably got a decent bit of middle of the night wake up with him still. It's already getting better.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You're like, I'm a mother of three. I sleep through whatever he's doing.
The older two, they
have, oh, for real?
They actually wake up.
Oh, jeez. Maybe still some of that, I would think. Her some, yeah.
She gets hangry now.
Really? Yeah. But so, guys, in addition to all of that, they are always needing you as well. They are just always in this place where they do need you. Hang in there, because I could tell you it's sweet to get to the place where it's like you're gonna take a shower, you're gonna do this, and guess what? I'm already gonna be in bed, sucker. Like, so like that's kind of where we're at. Like when we want to, like, all right, like today we left to each go to the gym while the boys were still at home before they left for school. So I say that as an encouragement of like it's not gonna be like that forever. So hang in there. But they always need you. And so I want to remind us that kind of like Jesus, we've got to have a mindset that says, okay, like I've got to be on point because there's somebody looking to me and we can't get what we don't have. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1? This is Paul speaking.
Okay. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ.
Okay. Other translations a lot of times say, follow me as I follow Christ. This is Paul speaking here. What a statement that he was able to say, you know what? You don't see Jesus, but you can see me, so follow me. I want to ask you, parents, can we say to our kids, I'm following after Christ so steadily and so steadfastly that, you know what, son, daughter, just follow me. We realize that's actually like part of our role is we've got to be the type where we can say, hey, follow me because I'm following Christ. I shared with the North Region on like a sidebar in the sermon on this past Sunday that I decided a long time ago that I was no longer going to worry so much about getting my kids to walk in a line. I'm more concerned about them walking closely to me. And I think sometimes as parents, we may not want to think like that because if that's going to be my focus, then that means I've got to be walking closer with Jesus. If I can get him walking in the line, it gives me this almost like mirage that like things are going to be okay. I'd rather have my children walk closely with me as I'm walking closely with Christ. We won't turn here, but Luke 10:38, story of Mary and Martha. Does anybody remember Mary and Martha? Okay. Do you guys remember which one was all like worked up about doing all the stuff?
Martha.
Yeah. And Mary was the one that was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said that she had things, Mary did, that she had the right mindset. You know, I think about Mary and Martha when it comes to us saying, okay, I can't give what I don't have. A few notes as we conclude this first principle. One is, I want to ask us to consider, do we feel so busy that we don't even have time to enjoy Jesus? Do we feel so busy that we don't have time to enjoy Jesus? The world, as it is now, makes this very difficult for us. Very difficult for us. Let me see if this will still be recording. Yeah. There's actually a little like thing I want to find and share with you guys. Maybe if there's anything you've got to say, it'd be a good time. But
yeah.
The busyness of this world certainly puts us in a place where it's like, oh my goodness, I'm so busy that I have a hard time even enjoying Jesus.
Yeah. And I think, it, you know, especially when the kids are little, it's, you know, to be creative is really important because, you know, you're not going to, it's what you used to do might not be the same how you can, you know, how you be with Jesus, right? How you connect with him, how you listen to him, how you, all those things. It probably has and will change through different seasons of your life. And that's okay. And like, and this is still something like being with Jesus, right? So this is even something we're talking about with an emotionally healthy leadership, but like being with Jesus has to, what is it? Let your being with Jesus outweigh your doing
being,
for Jesus.
Let the being with Jesus be enough for the doing.
Yeah. Like, and so it's the same concept, but that's the way he worded it. But just, so I've been really focused on just being and like, and that takes a lot of planning, right? Especially at this age too, like to get to that space sometimes. But just, I can, again, continually have to be like, it's just more, it's so important. It's so important. Like it's, and from, again, personally, sometimes it's easier for me to do. Like it's easier. Like I don't have to think. I don't even have to like be still. Like all the stuff, like there's just, it's so much easier with my personality to just do.
Yeah.
And, but it's, that's probably even why it's more important just to be and practice that and make and see the importance of it.
Principle two is humility begets humility. Humility begets humility. I know some of us are like, be good. What does that mean? Like basically like brings about or breeds humility. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. What would a parenting devotional be without Ephesians 6? All right, somebody who hasn't read yet, please read verses 1 through 4.
I can. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Okay. Would anybody know the definition of exasperate? Exhaust something, stress. Yeah. In addition to those things, it's almost like frustrate in an undue or inordinate manner. Basically, like you're bringing frustration to a system or a person too readily. How are some ways that maybe you have felt exasperated by your parent when you were growing up? Yeah.
I was too much of a people pleaser.
Okay. Oh, so you don't have any?
No, this isn't even when I was a kid. My mom is a bit of a TMZ gossip girl. And so after the third Kardashian story, I get pretty exasperated.
Yeah.
So my mom's pretty religious, and so she tried to like really control my environment in that way, but it was to an extreme where I didn't want any of that, and so I rebelled the other way, because it was like, it just didn't feel like it was, like she cared for me, for my heart, or wanted me to desire it, because she wanted me to fit in like a certain box.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm always like, okay, you know, like with the tithing, like so I'm introducing Kingston to tithing, and we did it for the first time last week. And I noticed myself, so we got this envelope, which is a bit of coins, and I'm like, Kingston, okay, give it to Mr. Eric, because he's gonna give it to God. And he was like, he was not. He was holding it like desperate. And I was like,
usually he loves me.
So now he doesn't like
me. Yeah, I know. I'm trying
to. You're trying to shake him down.
I was just like in that moment, but Eric had a way of like, it's okay, it's gonna take a while.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time. And I was like, oh my god, yeah, of course, like, it's a process. It's about the heart, you know?
Because at first, like, hopefully it's okay for me to elaborate. Marl was, like, kind of in that mom moment, you know, how you're like, do I force the kid to this or not?
I said to us, what should I
yeah. be? Yeah. And so I was just able to tell her that, like, this was a good step one, you know? And so we'll try again next week or whatever. Props to you guys for you and Alfred saying, okay, let's go for that. And also props to you for, like, taking your foot off the gas. Because sometimes exasperation comes when we don't take our foot off the gas. And that's challenging. Because you've got all these voices like, don't be a soft parent, you know, and all that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's where sometimes the exasperation comes. Either you have this vision in your mind, or you have a plan, or you have a this, or you have other voices. Yeah. So it comes from somewhere. There's a reason that we can do those things. But again, it's so important to be aware of that.
Was there anybody else that was trying to say something?
I was just trying to think of my parents. I feel like growing up, my dad had a motto of you can hum, you can hear. So he never repeated twice.
Yeah.
So he told us something. He's like, huh? If you have to be huh, you can hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, you just figure it out from there. Interpretation. Mm-hmm. I feel like my mom, I feel like she don't mean anything by it, but I feel like now that I have a kid, or even my brother has a kid, and she tells me all the time, like, it's different being a grandparent than a parent. Because every little thing Kalita is like, dear, don't let her do that. Don't do this, do that. I'm like, Jim, hush, leave me alone. Like, I'm like, yo, like, you was a no-limit soldier when you was raising us.
Yep.
What happened? Yep. So it's like funny because it's like me and my brother just laugh about it. Like, you know, we tell her to do something, and she's just like, oh, no, no. It's like, you know, I think I know my kid a little bit better, you know. But,
seriously?
You know, just put her down. But I don't want to hear her cry. It's like, that's what she does. Yep. That's how she communicates. Yep. So it's like funny just seeing that. That switch, I remember you threatening me.
Oh, crazy.
I want her back. That's what I want here.
When they were raising us, they were crazy.
They were nuts.
Yeah.
Well, we know why now. Crazy.
Yeah. It's just weird. It's just like she's this big
the
softy.
Shift, yeah.
So let's look at this for a moment on this humility begets humility thing. You know, guys, sometimes the exasperation comes when we don't have the same standard for ourselves as we have for the kid. You know, it's like, you know, what's right for me, versus thee, you know, type of thing. Like, and so I want to encourage us to remember that humility begets humility, that humility is something that we've got to model for our kids. Do you know one of the biggest faith killers that Megan and I have seen through our decades? For children is hypocrisy. Yeah. Hypocrisy, you guys, will kill your kids' faith. If you are one thing with them, one thing at church, one thing like they, it will kill your kids' faith. Mm-hmm. That's
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just even the practical with, you know, humility is so even when we were talking previously about, you know, you can't give what you don't have. And, like, that's such a high calling, right? And I think sometimes, at least for me, it can get overwhelming. I'm like, okay, you know, I don't want to – I got to fill up. I got to do all this stuff, whatever. But I think sometimes even what's more powerful than doing something the right way the first time is when you mess up to apologize and to show humility. And, I mean, that was my parents, and I've tried to make an example of that as well. And own, you know, even when they were little, you know, mommy's sorry, she yelled, you know, mom, whatever. And like, just it's just so, they will remember. I remember that in my parents. And like, they didn't do everything perfectly, but, you know, like, I remember the conversations we had more about apologizing and working through those things. And that showed me, and it shows your kids, that they can make mistakes too, right? They don't have to be perfect. Yeah. Like, I think if we're just trying to do everything right the first time, then they think they have to do that too.
I'm going to give you something to log away because you could be at this stage already, you with Hoffa a little bit, and that's about it, Lucy a little bit. There's going to be times where, like, one of you is going to escalate things. Your kid or you will escalate first. And it's not always them. Sometimes it's us that escalates things. And then sometimes, you know, it's funny. Sometimes when we escalate first and then they escalate, we like shout them down. It's like, no, we were actually the ones that got things all hyped up in the first place. But you're going to reach an age when, like, six and up, where you actually need to, at times, you need to humble yourself and not even, like, try to get them to learn a lesson from the interaction. let me try to explain in a hypothetical. I'm sure nothing like this has ever happened with me and my older one, where, you know, one of us, and it doesn't even matter which one, like, escalates things, and I end up being in sin because of yelling or, you know, just being too intense or whatever like that. You guys, I want to challenge you guys to log this away. We've got to be willing to humble ourselves and apologize, even if we feel like we're taking an L with the kid at that moment. Because here's what sometimes we've been taught to think is, oh, no, the kid has always got to come around to humility. And sometimes we could be like, okay, well, Dad, sorry, but now it's time to talk about you. Honestly, I would even go so far as to say, like, if we have truly sinned in that moment, we probably just need to not even worry about making a point anymore. You guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll paint it like this. I had a situation 18 or so years ago before we had kids, but where there was somebody who was a leader. We were not here. Of course, we were not here. But there was a leader in a church that we were in. And this leader showed me some pretty serious disrespect. We were a volunteer team leading the ministry, leading team ministry. And it was like, okay, you got $100 to spend every month and we'll reimburse you each month. And I was diligently turning in the paperwork for the reimbursables, and this person was being totally irresponsible with having a process to get me money back. And $100 a month was a big deal to me, especially at that time. Right? And so this person, not only were they not doing it, they were being pretty disrespectful to me, like in the way that like they were saying that they'll get to it. And then there was a day that, you know, they were like, okay, you know what? Just like you come to my house and I'll give you some money and we'll get it. And I'm like, and I go, you want me to come to your house? I got in his face basically. I'm like, you want me to come to your house? And it's interesting. I got hammered by like him and another leader in the church in that situation because Eric was being so disrespectful. And I logged away something that I've tried to do in my leadership as well as in my leadership with my children. That, you know what? If I've blown it, I've lost the moral high ground to try to teach anything anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if I've blown, it's kind of like all that I should be worrying about in that moment is, like, humbling myself before the person. Does that all make sense, guys?
Yeah.
And that's going to happen at times with our kids as well.
Yeah.
Something to read, and then we need to move on quickly to the next one. I'll just read this. And as I'm reading this, I want to ask us, how many ears do we have?
Two.
How many mouths do we have?
One.
My dear brothers, this is James 1:19. James 1:19, write it down. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, guys, with our children, humility begets humility, and we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. I really want to urge us, let's be humble so that we could see the humility brought about in them. Third, patterns precede practice. Deuteronomy 6, let's go there. Deuteronomy 6, again, what would a parenting devotional be without, do you guys know the Hebrew word for this passage by chance? The Shema. The Shema. Shema is for that first word in verse 4. For those of you who don't know this, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 is said to be the most quoted passage in all of Scripture, because Israelite people repeat it multiple times through the day. If you've ever been to like a devout Jewish person's home, they have a little box, like a cylinder, like rectangle thing on the door frame of their home, and it has a scroll rolled up in it and put on the wall. Megan and I were actually at a vacation a few years ago in Mexico. Remember, there's that it's called a mezuzah, and they, you know, when they're walking in or out, they touch it to remind themselves of this passage. And Shema comes from that first word, hear or listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Other translations that I prefer says, impress them on your children. Shall talk with them when you sit in your house. What translation? This is the ESV. That's why it's tripping. Whatever. I'm just going to quote it. Talk about these things while you sit at home, while you walk along the road, while you lie down, and when you get up. You shall bind them on your hands and on your foreheads, and you should put them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. You know, basically, guys, we are called as parents to impress the word onto our children. But here's the thing is pattern precedes practice. These people grew up hearing the hearing the scriptures, memorizing them. Any good Jewish boy had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy all memorized as they were growing up. And there was things that were being done. They were even kind of learning almost like song lyric vibes in order to be able to memorize the scriptures. And I want to let us know that patterns precede practice. What patterns am I referring to? I'm referring to getting them in the scriptures regularly. Okay. And I want to encourage you that what might feel like time wasted now is time that you're going to see was just simply well invested as time goes on. There's one of our kids in particular that there was years of the same thing. Years of the same thing. And scripture and discipline and conversations and just all kinds of stuff. Until all of a sudden, not terribly long ago, it was like, oh my good, he's getting it. He's actually changing. But patterns precede practice. And I'll say this as well, and I don't know if there's anything you're going to say on this one, but a pattern that we set, guys, is that we had these guys in the practice of having quiet times. 6 or 7 years old for Logan? How old were they when they started that?
Maybe younger, but maybe. I don't know.
Pretty young, where Logan was able to read to Carson. And so they've had multiple like devotional books through the years.
Well, and before that we would do videos.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a quiet time and they'd watch like a song video of Christian songs.
And to where now, guys, and what I heard this from another family years and years ago, they said, we want our kids to get into the practice of being in the scriptures regularly, so it wasn't a weird thing for them when they became like high school students. And now the boys, it's just part of what they do. So if Logan's behind on his like reading, I'll like walk into the loft and I'll see him with an AirPod in, but it's not music. It's like the Bible reading to him if he falls behind.
He's wanting to read through the Bible.
He wants to read through the whole Bible. Wow. So does Carson. And I encourage Carson, he can skip through Leviticus. And he's like, no, I want to read.
I'm not reading through the whole Bible.
Yeah, he's like, I want to read through the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm going to have to talk to him soon about what they mean by discharges and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it comes up.
Was there anything there that you wanted to hit?
No, I mean, there's so much in that. Yeah. So, you know, it's a good, we can talk more, but I think it's just being intentional about what thinking, that's the whole, like, you know, thinking 10 years down the road, like that are, your kids are, you know, 2 or whatever, when they're 12, you know, the things that they're starting to do now, that's who they are, and they're going to be bigger unless you kind of create these patterns.
Yes.
There's a lot I'm trying to say in a short amount of time, but there we go.
And finally, I didn't have a fancy way of saying this one, so I'm just going to call it the Joshua principle. Write down Joshua 24:15. Again, these are just like your quintessential parenting devotional scriptures. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want to urge us that we say that this is what our family does. It's just a given. I've heard it said before that things are caught more than they're taught.
Yeah.
They're caught more than they're taught. And with us, you know, the children are going to absorb things from us. Now, here's the thing. We also have got to teach these things. So, for example, like we've got to, I'll put it like this. Did our kids, were they born and were they naturally selfish or giving?
Selfish.
they learn how to say mine so fast, right? Nobody needs to like really teach. We got to teach selflessness. And similarly, like we've got to actively teach and demonstrate and model all these God first, kingdom first approaches and practices. I really want to urge us. We got to start establishing a language and a vocabulary for our families that will evolve as they age. And things like, this is what our family does. This is who we are. You know, it's got to be a given with your kids that they are part of God's church in a great way as well. I want to leave us with a final thing, and I'm going to come back to this in each of these 3 times. Basically, we have 3 devotionals this year. The one that's going to come up on August 16th is Creating a Spiritual Haven at Home. And on October 4th, we're going to talk about dealing with hardship. behavioral, spiritual, physical, and mental. But there's another overarching thing that is going to permeate every one of these devotionals that honestly is among my biggest concerns for your age group, okay? So I'm just going to tell you guys, like, when I look at the parents of, like, preschool and all that, toddler, right? Yeah. That's, I don't even know.
Big picture.
Sometimes I don't know what a toddler is, honestly. They toddle? Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. So, like, 3 and under? Okay. So, then yes, that group, the preschool. Here's one of my biggest concerns, guys, is that we're not creating resilient children. Okay? And we're going to have Q&A. I just want to show...
You mean big picture? Or is it like...
I think I'll elaborate. She and I didn't coordinate on this part. There's an incredible article that I can share with you guys. You'll have to sign up for a free trial of The Atlantic. Came out in 2014. Basically, there was this kind of study done of the resilience of children and how safe of, like, spaces we should create for them, and should we make everything foam and rubber and tires and wood chips and all, or should we create places that are kind of like give children feedback so they know what their boundaries are and all that type of stuff. What's that? Yeah, because it teaches them something. And there was this particular, like, park, it was in another country, where children, in a monitored fashion, were able to create fires. There were workers that were monitoring this and all that type of thing. And parents were not able to intervene and all that stuff. But they were, like, children were realizing what their boundaries are. Because here's the thing, like, when we just, like, totally, like, curate every little thing, like, they don't know, like, and children are trying to sort out what their, like, limits and boundaries are. And so, like, we create these little, like, I mean, what do we call them? Like the snowflake generation thing, right? And so, guys, I have a concern that we're not creating resilient children, that we are, you know, a lot of the people that preceded our generation, if a kid needed to, like, take a nap, they'd, like, bring them to whatever, and okay, they need to go take a nap over in the corner or whatever. And I don't know if we're really creating resilient children. And honestly, I think it's in part because the world has caused us as a generation to not be as resilient either. There's a saying that I'm guessing some of you have heard. It's making its rounds, and it goes as following: hard times create strong men. Anybody heard this one yet?
We've only said it a few times.
You guys have heard this one? Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. And there we go again. And so it's interesting, you guys. I'll say it again. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. And think about the world, namely the modern United States that we're in, and it is one of the easiest times in the history of the world to actually be. And the things that we consider hard, guys, I'm just going to tell you, are nothing compared to what people in other parts of the world and in the previous times in our world, in our country, have seen. You think about some of our, like, grandparents or whatever that were in the Great Depression. You know, Byron literally came from another country. And we were so caught that, like, guys, I don't even know if we are stretching ourselves like we can and need to. And that trickles down into our children. The affluence that we have, the amount of money that causes us to actually not have to stretch ourselves as much, that creates good times, like, right? But good times also can create weak men, and I would say our children can become weak. And we'll come back to this, and we'll talk more about it as time goes on. So the four principles were: you can't give what you don't have, humility begets humility, patterns precede practice, the Joshua principle, and then just a little, like, sidebar there, a little bonus for you on the idea of resilience that we'll continue to come back to a few times. So let's talk. What kind of questions do we have for each other? Observations on this topic or just otherwise? I know a lot of times people come to these devotionals and it's like, okay, that's great. What about screen time? So stuff like that. So let's talk.
Hi. You're staring at me.
I mean, they have, yeah, so I can tell you the bit, well, I can't tell you off the top of my head. There was one, it was more for they when they were younger, there was like the just the music, but I can give you some of the videos that we used. Again, not off the top of my head, but there are books, like, I think when they, didn't they have a just a picture one? And we would, I mean, like, read it with
them. There's
just
like, so would, many.
So
there's
we started so having their quiet times with us, yeah. Like, you know, and then they started, like, so there was kind of a progression, like, and we called, I think we did call it quiet times, yeah. But then, yeah, so I can give you, like, some specific resources, mm-hmm. if that's what you're saying. But I think it is, like, figuring out what your kid, how your kid connects, yeah. You know, like, and what they like, if it's music, if it's reading, if it's outside and playing, and like, even like, you know, you're running around at the park, you know, and they talking about nature and God created this, and let's pray about, you know, whatever, and just taking a moment to do that, or I don't know.
And just it being like a regular thing in like your day-to-day family life, like listening to spiritual songs while you're driving and all that. It was a great day. Carson was probably 3 and a half. And he's like, I see God. I was like, what do you mean? And the moon was out. And do you guys remember that song? God is on the move. Yes. He's like, I see God on the moon. So,
that was a good one.
You know, yeah, that would trip me out. Like, this kid's.
Yeah. Yeah. You're seeing angels. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, Lord.
I will say, too. Oh, go ahead. We just with the, like, another big piece of just that pattern is them seeing you
yeah.
reading your Bible and sitting and, you know, just being with, like, letting them see that, you yeah. know. And they know, like, yeah, like, it's just a good thing for them to see and know that mom and dad do this too. Mm-hmm. And this is what we do. And this is, they need it. I need it. Those mm-hmm. kind of things. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we even see the pattern with Kalia. Like, I've noticed, like, we're doing, like, her bedtime routine. If I'm doing, I'm like, all right, let's pray. And with a big smile on her face, she goes,
yeah.
And I'm like,
so cute.
And yeah. So I thought the first time was a fluke. Then, like, the next night, she did the same thing. And yeah. we say our prayers and we go, amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
oh, you're more spiritual than daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that just shows they're watching. Yeah. They're watching.
Yeah. They are watching.
I feel like there's still, like, so much to, like, unpack with the different topics. I'm kind of, like, underlining my question.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that, like, I appreciate hearing from someone who's at a stage ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Because, like, my social circle is mostly people who are with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure it out, and you don't see the results right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And mm-hmm. I think, like, we can be in that bubble, and to hear, like, what you invest now will have fruit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I need to hear those things constantly.
Yes.
And, like, let's focus on, like, the genuine connection for them versus, like, the dues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate that you're, like, putting this for us, because, like, you know, I don't want to, like, leave someone who's also blind.
Yeah. Oh, for real? Yeah. For real?
And my question is, I'm sure you guys are learning from someone
playing
Oh, yeah.
Blind yeah. people can do incredible things. Like, when
I mean, like,
all you need is contact.
No, we're with you.
Thank you, Jerry. Like, yeah. This is in my mind. I'm yeah. going to let you slide. I'm going to let it go.
Always.
I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah. No, but it's. I feel that even my yeah so it just appears there's so much benefit in that, right? Because you're in it together, and then yeah, so I totally get that. That's one I feel like that's the conversation I have most with young moms is like, don't give up.
Yeah.
You're gonna yeah. make it, you know. And because it's so I feel like it was yes, like I honestly feel like it was yesterday that I was in it, like, and it I like, and you know, you in 10 years you guys will be saying the same thing, you know. And so, and I remember people telling me, like, it will not be forever. And then clinging to those things. Mm. And so I do try to pass that on because it, in those moments, it is literally, yeah. It is so tiring. It is so overwhelming. It's the same thing over and over and over when they're younger, mm. you know. And so, yeah, anyway. So I just doubling down on that because, yeah, it is. It's hard. It's a hard stage.
Yeah, it is. Listen to the songs. Cry. You guys know the song Don't Blink?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
How does that song go?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the one that it won't be like this for long? You guys remember that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't know?
There's a lot of good ones.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah.
You're gonna miss the new one.
I was like, why are you listening to this?
Ashley's wedding.
Oh man.
Yeah, he can't. Gretchen, that song, he can't even like say it without. Yeah.
Oh, the one. Didn't he say that? Is that the one that he like
Ashley's,
spoke to us before?
Yes.
It won't be like this for long, I think, was when Darius Rucker kind of showed up and he wasn't Hootie anymore. He was like a country guy. Yeah, it's one that's like, it won't be like this for long. One day soon we'll look back laughing at the week we brought her home. This phase is going to fly by, so maybe just hold on. It won't be like this for long. And, you know, it's talking about like they're crying and they're freaking out and all that, but, you know, it won't be like this for long. And so, yeah.
I was just going to say, I really appreciate this tonight. Definitely took a lot of notes. I think my one question is, like, with this stage of, you know, sometimes, like, we're dividing and conquering in some ways. Of like, okay, I'll take Casey, you go take a break. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me go get a break. And, like, how do you work together through that and not just kind of divide and conquer? Like,
you don't want to divide and conquer poorly, like all of a sudden, like exactly, like you don't want to be angry towards each other, and you also don't want like
two terms in a row.
Well, you also don't want it to be where like the kid feels more connected to one and not connected to the other parent. So guys, a practice that we held, that we still hold, is we scheduled very diligently. Like Sunday afternoons, we scheduled our week like down to the half hour mark. Where like we knew exactly what the week was planned to look like, and that helped us to be tight with the boys, tight with each other, be tight with our ministries, be consistent at, you know, church events and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so just that like very simple practice of like just scheduling very specifically, like. When people, real quick, like when I hear that people are kind of flying by the seat of their pants and they have kids living at home, I'm like,
how?
You can't, like, you know, the whole like plate spinning thing, like plate's going to drop,
yeah,
you know, and crash.
Yeah. And I think, we have a kind of a list.
We do have a template, but
a list of like things we want to accomplish. Like what do I need this week? You know, like what does Casey need? Well, not Casey, but you know, like my kids need, what is my husband, like, so that we're all, like, it's all thought about, right? Yeah. And it's all, like, we literally have, like, a list of, like, we put it in if it's not in, and, like, so it, and now it's just more natural, but it really helps, like, be intentional with even the downtimes and even the, you know, whatever. And stuff, we're not known as, like, easy breezy, go with the flow people, you know, so that should not surprise, you know, people that we, like, that's who we are, but it really helps.
When people look at our calendar, they want to throw up.
I say that because everyone's different, but it does, like, some level of that, I think, is important to, in order to fit everything in that you are, that's important, right? Keeping the first things first.
Yeah, it just helps, and, you know, like, you just do that practice and you realize, oh, like I've got some more time, and yeah, you could just be more effective. And then you get like your template down, your kind of your basic cadence. I don't know all your guys' like family work situations. I know in this circle, there's some of you that you both work, some of you that the wife doesn't work or part time and all that type of stuff. But if you have a predictable schedule, that can help a lot as well. So you're just kind of.
And I will add, like, to be flexible.
Yeah.
Let me finish. Be flexible, because like, seasons will, like, being understanding that, like, seasons will change, right? Yeah. So, like, what's working now Yeah. Might not work. Even in, like, you know, summer might be a different, like, yeah. thing. And, like, that's hard for me because I'm like, okay, it's working. You know, why is it working now? And, right. like, but so you might have to adjust those kind of things. But then you at least have some kind of plan, you know. Yeah.
To talk about something that would, so some eventually in the future we want to have another child. And so when you're thinking about doing, utilizing these strategies while also having a pregnant wife,
yeah.
while also having a toddler running around.
And grad school one.
Yeah.
Work, full-time job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
What are your kind of thoughts on trying to lead a family with a toddler while also thinking about the next child, the next pregnancy, all of that?
Yeah. And are you asking, like, when to try to, when to start trying to introduce that child? Is that what you mean? Like,
no.
Like,
I, in terms of, like,
I think you understand better.
And
I think
adding more family and balancing life.
I think I understand. I think, I guess I would say, like, this stage in general, like, when you're building and creating your family and you're starting out, or you're, and it is a lot of all that running around and all of that. I think, at least for me, I had to keep things very simple and be okay with that. So, like, and, like, and the basics, right? Love God, love people. Okay. Like, you know, and, like, how does that practically look? It might mean literally, like, 10 minutes in the morning I'm, you know, reading my Bible and I'm mm-hmm. praying and, you know, and then I'm reading with my toddler and we're off, you know, and we're yeah. doing this and then we're looking at the park and we're doing, you know, but so kind of, I guess, I don't know if that makes sense, but, like, going throughout the day, like, it's just part of you
mm-hmm.
versus, like, because, like, now I have time to sit with my coffee and chill and read and do all that. But I didn't have that for a long time, you know, until they went to school. That was, like, hallelujah.
It's a game changer.
I worked from home. So I had – some people don't even have that when they go to school, right, because it's a whole – so it's everybody's different. But anyway, so I guess that for me was, like, kind of something that helped just keep it simple. Don't try to – sorry, I'll just say one more thing, because my brain has, like, I'm trying to explain it, but, like, I would look at people in the next stage, be like, wow, I want to do that, yeah. I want to do that, I want to, okay, I'm going to do that, yeah. and I'm like, how do I do
impossible.
That? Like, that's yeah. not going to work, yeah. you know?
People make it easy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Or, like, oh, like,
right.
have, like,
and
this facade.
Yeah.
And
totally. You're like, okay, how does that?
Yeah, seriously.
How does that
yeah.
actually, tell
yeah.
me exactly what you're, like, how do you make that work? And it's, so I think it's important to see them and think about them as principles, right? Like,
yeah,
you're, okay,
yeah.
this is our, that's our goal, that's our heart, this is who we want our family to be. So, and then there's a practical of, like, okay, how is that going to look in my day, you know, and that's going to be different for everybody. But I guess that's where the practical comes in, is, like, okay, each, don't try to compare to the older stages of what people can do with their time, but do what you can. And that's okay. And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? I know that's not, like, a whole practical, and we can talk more specific if there's, like,
yeah.
in, you know, in our life, this is, you know, a specific thing, but
is that what you're asking?
He really probably sure wants more practicals. I feel like
well, is that
that's
yeah,
what
she
saying,
yeah.
you
yeah.
like filling your own cup in that stage, or how do you lead your family in that stage?
All I know is having one child, so I don't have the notion of when we were
having more.
Yeah, when you're pregnant
three,
with
yeah.
your first child, you're not thinking, I got to take care of my pregnant wife and a child. You're thinking, I got to take care of my pregnant
mm.
wife. When you add a pregnancy plus
yeah.
1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old running around,
it's chaotic.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what I was
getting
yeah.
at.
Yeah.
And you do. You just.
You pray.
You kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll speak from our experience. When I was pregnant, this third time, Tyler did pretty much everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, pretty much everything.
It's gotta be like
the
that.
House,
yeah.
Everything for the kids, until I was, like, 13 weeks pregnant, and I was starting to feel a little better. And, like, he was super burnt out and tired, but, like, that was the greatest thing that he could have done for me and for
mm-hmm.
our family. Just kind of shouldering that burden for a while, and it was really hard, but, like, literally, I was useless. So it is hard, and that's something, like, to consider when,
you're thinking about a second or a third kid. Like, you don't know how each pregnancy is going to be, what your wife's needs are going to be. They could be totally different than last time. And, like, even a lot of times, your kids' needs are different, too, because they see mommy is, like, not feeling good, not there as much. And then, like, we went through this with Jack, with our middle child, this past time that I was pregnant. Like, he really had a hard time because he was, like, I don't know, what was he, 2.5? And it makes a big difference when your mom is all of a sudden different. When you're 2.5, you don't know why.
What's going on?
Like,
If that's changed, what else has changed? Let me test all the
bad. Let's test everything. Let's just see if everything's the same or not.
But I
know Tyler leaned on people around him a lot. Just even people, you know, close to us, proximity wise, like, hey, can you watch, you know, Jack for an hour or so while, you know, I spend some time with Lucy or while I get this thing done, or you know, just, I don't know, just calling people to vent and pray together, and it's a hard time.
It is. Yeah.
But it's a season, and then it gets better and it gets different. It's not never the same as it was before.
When you have a 2-year-old and you forget, oh, it's only been a year since I was there.
Right, exactly. And even now, like, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but our life is totally different adding a third than it was adding a second. Like, the things that we're able to do together, Tyler and I, it's like, truly we're outnumbered. And we feel that. We really feel that a lot of times. And so, I don't know. I feel like, I almost want to say that you can't really be super prepared for those moments. You just have to, like, decide if you're going to do that or not, and then, like, lean on God and lean on people around you to get through it.
Enjoy having just one.
Until
it's two.
Enjoying each day. That's very important.
Like, when I pregnant with her, I was working, and I didn't expect to be so sick. I worked up until the day of the time, so I went to labor with Emery. So everything looked so different, but I was so sad and disappointed that eventually I just had to leave my job because I was that sick. I couldn't work, and it was so hard. I loved my job so much, and I didn't want to give it up, and I worked with kids, and I didn't want to leave them. But once I just let myself be in the season that I was in, I started to enjoy and relax and just go know. And so I think just being okay with the season, I know that's not really good.
That's great.
That's good.
That's true. Anything else before we wrap up?
My wife said, you know, personally, in my point, you know, what I personally see is, you know, obviously my wife doesn't work. I'm the one that works and all that kind of stuff. You don't know, but I was always a supporter, you know, of the way she felt. Even though it was hard for me, I probably might express it to her, you know. always just hard.
You talked about, like, not raising basically weak kids, and Tyler's like huge on that too. Like, he does not rush to them when they fall down. He barely even looks at them before telling them they're fine. I'm like, can he just, like, glance at them?
Their arm could be over.
But, like, Jack fell with Karina the other day and came home screaming, crying because he cut his knee. And then the next day, we found this huge lump on his forehead that his bangs were covering up. We're like, oh, shoot. We didn't, like, really inspect him all that much. I guess he was okay because he didn't say anything about his head. But, like, I have a hard time. So I feel like now parents are told to, like, well, I think there's just a lot more information out there about, like, child psychology and, like, where kids are at developmentally and what they can actually emotionally handle and, like, where they should emotionally be. So, like, you know, our generation probably like getting into that a little bit, but like the generation before us definitely were like, suck it up. Like, you don't need to cry about that.
Mm.
But also, like, we kind of know better now than to do that in every situation. So, like,
yeah.
How can you balance, like, meeting your kids emotionally where they're at and where they should be, and then, like, also creating, like an emotional toughness to them, too, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, it's a challenge. And, you know...
what did you say?
You
said it's a quick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'll try to make this quick.
a few thoughts. I shared with the North recently that, like, each generation kind of, like, parents in a reactionary way relative to how they were parented. And so, like... This your guys's generation is called to do this whole like gentle parenting thing, and you know it's a reaction thing because of how we were raised, and that generation parents it in a way because of how they were parented, and you know all that, and so it's so reactionary. I think there's a few things. One, we got to get people in our lives that can help us balance each other. A lot of times, one parent is over here, one parent's over here on every area, and we need each other, but we also need people in our lives. Like, I know people who, like, both parents are over here and they're hurting their kids because they're both over here. Mm-hmm. I know parents who are on different sides, but one just wins every disagreement, and so they're hurting their kids because they, like, you guys see what I'm saying. So you do need people in your life. I do think that your guys' generation, I do think the gentle parenting is Satan's way of taking out your guys' kids. One of his ways of taking out your guys' kids. The gentle parenting thing promotes children that won't know boundaries, that won't know, you know, like that they will listen when the time comes. It's tricky because there is a like, well, do you care about me and all that type of thing? When I shared about this in that sermon recently, I was actually sharing about it with the story of Abraham and Isaac. Do you guys remember Abraham and Isaac? What God called Abraham to do?
Yeah.
So Isaac's like, you're going to do what to me? Like, what? Like, what is going on? But the thing is, like, Isaac knew that dad was there. Isaac calls for dad. Dad, where are you? Abraham says, here am I. And it's the same word that is like, look or behold. It's the same word that in the Septuagint and the thing that takes the Old Testament into the Greek, it's the same word that's used when they say, like, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so Abraham is basically saying, okay, son, like, when you're calling for me, you're going to know that I'm there. So my remedy to that you're describing is to do what you can, even intentionally, to help your kids be tough and strong and resilient, but that they always know that, like, when I'm in true need, they're going to know that my parents are going to be right there. Two quick stories. Like, one...
I'm making notes so I don't forget.
Because I keep going.
Yeah.
Two quick, like, examples and stories. Logan and Carson, up until a few years ago, when we had wrestle and box and everything, they were welcomed and encouraged to punch me, even in the face, as hard as they could.
I
don't let them do it now because it'll hurt me, but like it was like I established a thing with them that like that we're gonna have rough and tumble play. And in that article from the Atlantic, the psychologist that they interviewed basically described that kids need that, and they need like a, you know, when they fall, that like, you guys ever notice when a kid like runs and falls, they're like looking to see how we're going to react.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, that happened in the lobby in there once years ago. Logan's running. He falls in between like eight of the teen girls. He sees me and Megan first, and we're just like, okay, all right, buddy. But then the girls all go, oh, and he's like, wah! You know? But so, you know, we've got to raise our kids in such a way that there's going to be a toughness. But then there's also the story of, we had Logan and Carson. They were in Midtown Carmel, you know, where Sun King and all that type of stuff is. And the kids were playing with 100 other kids that were in the middle on that field there. And so they were probably, let's see, like 10 and 8. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where's Carson? 8-year-old Carson is on the ground, and a kid that was like 13, 14 years old is like twisting Carson's hand behind his back. And you know what I did? I didn't like, oh, you know, like you're going to be fine. Or I didn't like. In that moment, I'm like, I'm making a statement to my sons about my protectiveness of them. And I yelled. There was 100 people could hear me. And I wanted just like that. I'm like, get off him. So the kid like gets jarred, runs away. And I say to the boys, I said, in the future, if anybody does that to your brother, you take them out. And like I like without reservation or apology, I was like, I'm going to take care of you. Like, I will not let somebody come and hurt you. But so you see kind of that difference there is like, I'm going to protect you. And Logan, interestingly, like a week later, leveled a kid that he like. It was a bit of an overreaction, honestly, on Logan's part.
You got to send a message.
You got to, you know, swing the gauntlet that way.
That's how you learn.
But so.
I'll
correct him later. I know him. He's quite the rest.
So a lot of thoughts there. I was with Tyler when he discovered that bump on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jax had the other day, and I could just imagine how you felt. But just, you know, I'll just finally say, guys, I do think, and I do have concern that, like, for your guys' generation, that like we are just going to like protect our kids so much that they just any little thing that just like throws them for a loop because they just have not known what it's take to deal with some resistance and adversity.
Yeah, and I think there's the physical, obviously, and then there's the emotional, which is kind of what you were referring to, I think, as well. And I think it's situational, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and which is why I think advice is so important, because it's like, okay, like, but if you, I say situational, but you have in mind, like, I'm building a resilient child. Like, if that's your mindset, like, that affects a lot of how you
respond
and do things. And like, what, because, and you said, suck it up, like, you know, like that's a, and like, I, even though we're saying, you know, resilient kids, I still don't think that's what you say to a kid. I think it's how acknowledging, I think there's a way, and, you know, I think there's a way to acknowledge what they're feeling. I know that's hard. I'm sorry you feel that way. We're going to do this because it's good for you. And, you know, like, and you don't have to explain that every time, like, you know, right? That can become whatever, but acknowledging their feelings, but still staying that course of like, nope, this is hard for you. And I really wish it wasn't hard for you, but like, it's, you know, whatever. But I guess, especially if you have an emotional child, I think it's an important, or emotionally sensitive child, it's important to acknowledge those feelings and not just say, suck it up, or just that's what we did, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, we can do that. So, like, we can do that with Logan. You know, Logan, you know, we don't say suck it up, but we're like, you know, this is what we do. I'm like, okay. You know, we can't do that with Carson, you know, and that's, which is, they're just different kids. And so it's, again, learning your kids, but still having that same mindset and plan of, nope, we're going to, and this, you know, this is still ongoing with us, you know, of continuing to build that in them. So, anyway.
We should let you guys, because a lot of you guys have kids here, we should let you guys get them. But we respect you guys. We love you guys. We're here for you. And so we hope that we gave you a reason to come back in August or whatever the next one is.
We'll be here in August.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was, like, something else.
I thought it was an accident.
Let's see.